Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. We are going to start today with a work session on Senate Bill 802. Sheree.
Madam Chair and Members, Senate Bill 802 permits a person who is 16 years of age to register to vote. The committee held a public hearing on this on March 6th. There are no amendments offered in relation to this bill, and fiscal paperwork indicates there is a minimal impact associated with this measure, while revenue paperwork indicates there is no impact associated.
Thank you. And we have all our paperwork. This bill is ready to go. So, Senator Boquist.
I move SB 802 to the floor with a due pass, and I'll speak to my motion.
Senator Boquist has moved Senate Bill 802 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
I don't know. I haven't checked, but I think I'm actually on this bill. And I voted for the previous bill, which actually was a cost savings bill that moved it from 18 to 17, the registration, because it's the registration but not the right to vote. And this simply moves it down so that the provisional license that is issued, we capture that data from the provisional license from those. There are individuals that will remain unnamed that have told me we need to be more responsive to millennials and the other generation and be more acceptive of them, and so I'm taking that advice. And so I'm, you know, fine with the bill. I know other people raise it, but I want to be explicit on the record. It doesn't allow 16-year-olds to vote. I wouldn't let my six children who are over the age of 25 vote, but that's a different story. So this only allows them to register, and they cannot vote until they're 18.
Thank you, Senator Boquist, and I hope your children were listening. Is there other discussion?
Yeah, of course, there's other discussion, Madam Chair. Thank you so much. Just to show that there's a wide diversity in the Republican caucus of thinking, I'm going to be a no on this, and I have a very specific reason why. There will be no 16-year-old in Oregon that is safe from the propaganda mill. We do sell those DMV lists. You know, the voter registration lists are also public. And I think that the addition of 16-year-olds simply lets the games begin 2 years earlier. So moms and dads, be ready for your mailboxes to fill up with propaganda from not just the major parties, but all parties. I think 16-year-olds are going to be subjected to a lot of information. We call it campaign literature. And even though they won't be voting, I just think it would be wiser for us to let 16-year-olds sit out the fray until they actually are old enough to cast a ballot. We do have the 17-year-old vote on a registration already on the books, and no one has shown me any evidence that increases people's interest in elections or participation in the future. So I'll be a no, Madam Chair. Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure that the 16-year-olds will show up on the voter list. I don't think they are actually put on the list for that. But they still are on the DMV list, and they are right now. Right. Actually, 15-year-olds are probably on the DMV list if they apply for a learner's permit.
Madam Chair, to that issue?
Senator.
Those 15 and 16-year-olds may be on the DMV list now, but they will also be on the solicitation list henceforth. So they will be targeted because they are future potential voters. So, you know, one way or the other, those lists are going to be published and utilized.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Other discussion? Okay, Ann, would you please call the roll?
Beyer?
Yes.
Boquist?
Yes.
Rogan?
Yes.
No.
Aye.
And Madam Chair, you're looking for a carrier for that?
Senator Farrelly, I always defer to you, Senator Farrelly, but not this time. The bill has passed. Senator Boquist, would you like to carry it?
Or? I don't know. Am I really the sponsor of one of these bills? Who's the other sponsor? Let me look and see. There might be a finer senator than me out there.
I can think of no finer senator.
Yeah, I know. I can also think of digging a shovel, too, and, you know, lots of...
Okay. If you would rather not, I would be happy to have Senator Roblin carry this bill.
I love that idea.
Or you could have Senator Beyer. It took me a long time to get there.
Maybe we should just have them fight it out, Senator Beyer.
Actually, this is Senator Taylor's bill.
Yeah, I would be happy to carry the bill, Madam Chair.
Okay, we will have Senator Beyer carry the bill. Close the work session on Senate Bill 802 and open a work session on Senate Bill 683, which has a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 683, beginning January 1st, 2019, eliminates the requirement that an elector pay the cost of ballot return postage and requires that the state pay for ballot return envelopes that can be returned by business reply mail. The committee held a public hearing on this bill on March 6th. The revenue statement indicates no impact associated with this legislation, and fiscal paperwork indicates the impact is indeterminate at this time. There are two amendments offered with this bill. The Dash 1 amendment exempts Armed Forces members, veterans, and persons with disability, rather than all electors from the ballot postage requirement. And the Dash 2 amendment is identical to the Dash 1 amendment, except that it does not include an exemption for individuals meeting the statutory definition of veteran. The revenue statements for the underlying bill and the Dash 1 amendments indicate no impact associated with this legislation, and fiscal paperwork indicates the impact is indeterminate currently. We have not received fiscal or revenue paperwork for the Dash 2 amendments yet.
Okay. Senator Farrelly, would you like to make a motion?
No, ma'am, I would not like to make a motion. But under discussion, I'll have some comments.
All right. Senator Beyer, we would like a motion to send this to the Ways and Means Committee by prior referral.
Madam Chair,
she's getting you a script here.
Do we want to adopt an amendment?
No.
Unclear. We do not. Okay. Got it. Let's see. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 683 without recommendation, and request that the measure be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 683 without recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there a discussion?
Let me have the discussion first.
Sure.
Okay, Senator Bukas.
Both of the amendments are my responsibility. The first amendment was an amendment at attempting to address military voters and disabled voters. It didn't quite come out the way it was supposed to come out. The second amendment that's out there is once again an approach to narrowly define this. You know, if it were decided to go forward, I think it would need to be narrowed. Right? Not saying I'm supporting one way or the other. The easier way to do that, I mean, I just point out for technical purposes that military ballots right now are already identified under the Secretary of State, and they have a separate mailing process that goes out. And then the other amendment that was in there was somebody would have to figure out how to identify disabled voters and how that would go along. But both of the amendments came from me as an effort to try to narrow this bill because of the fiscals, and there's obviously other individuals who are opposed to it too. And so, though I'm not asking obviously for the option of either amendment, I'm also not going for the main bill as it goes to this bill.
Thank you. And as this bill is considered, it has a considerable fiscal, which in our budget climate is a very serious matter.
$22,000.
So the sponsors of this bill are willing to have a conversation about narrowing the bill. Right now, it does not look like a bill that has much chance of moving at this time. So we have a motion.
Further discussion.
Further discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have added a document to the record, and I provided 20 copies to Ms. Coughlin for inclusion in the record. And that document is an editorial from the, I believe, from the Oregonian Editorial Board, which I don't always agree with, but in this case I certainly do. And it is titled, Legislators' Postage Paid Ballot Bill Should Be Returned to Sender. The bill, I think, has a fiscal of about 1.2, if I can recall the testimony from the chair of Ways and Means. He knew it was going to be expensive, and I do agree with the chair that in this difficult budget time, it may be impossible to find additional dollars. The editorial board admonishes us not to spend what we do not have, but the idea that we would be principally motivated by providing postage stamps for folks who should be able to find a postage meter, do online postage, drop their ballots at a drop box, buy postage at any ATM outlets, at a grocery store, at a student union, or any number of places seems to me to be more compelling than the argument that we should pay $1.2 million or more for people who cannot find a postage stamp in order to exercise their franchise, which is one of the highest rights any citizen can have. So, Madam Chair, I will support the motion to move it down to Ways and Means, where I hope it will slumber peacefully until after sine die. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly. Other discussion? Thank you. Are there objections to the motion?
Oh, no, fine, send it down there. I'm okay.
So ordered. Thank you, committee. Now we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 520. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 520 specifies that current statutory provisions with regard to recall petition administrative requirements apply to irrigation districts and eliminate requirements with regard to the filing of a recall petition with the Board of Directors. There is one amendment. The dash one amendments restore the current statutory provisions related to recall petition filing with the District Board of Directors and provides that if a petition for the recall of an irrigation district officer must be filed with the Board of Directors, that the Board of Directors must not be subject of the recall petition. There is no fiscal or revenue impact associated with the underlying bill or the dash one amendment.
Okay, I see Senator Linthicum in the audience. There are a couple other senators who may be by to testify, but for now, it's all yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Co-chair or vice chair Farrelly and the rest of the board. This is real easy.
Can you put your name on the record?
I'm sorry. Senator Dennis Linthicum from District 28 in the Klamath County area. This happened in a Klamath County Irrigation District, KID specifically, where there was a recall attempt, and districts are defined in ORS 255 except for irrigation districts, which show up in 545. And so it was thought appropriate to just add language, the irrigation district organized under Chapter 545. If there's no such officer or the office, district office against the petition is being filed, then we simply want to include who are not subject to the recall petition at the end of line 17. So amendment one, the dash one amendment, lines 15 through 17, that blocked out area stays in, and following the period after the word district, we simply add who are not subject to the recall petition. They found it difficult to submit paperwork regarding a recall to an individual who was subject to the recall.
Okay, Senator Linthicum, this is a very unusual bill. I've not seen anything quite like it. Is there any opposition to this?
None that I'm aware of.
That you're aware of? We don't have any sign-ups, do we, on this?
Question.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, when they're filing for election to the board of an irrigation district, do they file with the county clerk? They don't. Huh?
Under 545, the election process is a district-wide election. So I'm not actually sure if the filing takes place with the county clerk's office. This is with regard to the recall effort.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but a political problem. We've got the recall petition, we've got signatures, and I'm required to turn it in to an individual who is part of the recall.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're simply trying to avoid that.
Yeah, I get that. They're just odd. I'm surprised that irrigation districts are treated differently than other special districts, but I've never looked at it.
Right.
I've never had any.
I also was surprised all the other districts show up in 255. Irrigation districts are the only district that shows up in 545. I didn't know that either.
Learn something new every day in the Oregon legislature. Other comments? Thank you very much. We have April Snell from the Oregon Water Resources Council.
Congress.
Oddity.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farioli, members of the committee, for the record, April Snell, Executive Director with the Oregon Water Resources Congress. I've submitted written testimony for the record, which you should have, and I won't repeat all of that except to say a few words in brief. So we represent irrigation districts, water control districts, and similar entities around the state. And the case that Senator Linthicum mentioned was with one of our members in the fine Klamath Basin. And it is something where it is odd that irrigation districts weren't able to follow the same procedure as other similar special districts. And I would say simply that I think that's just a product of this is a very, very rarely used process. And we hope that it does not become more commonly used, but we want to make sure that if there is a need for patrons to recall members of their board, that there's a clear process on how they do that and that that's consistent with how other districts conduct a similar process. Now, one of the things that's unique with irrigation districts compared to other types of entities that you may be more familiar with is districts are governed by the landowners within their district that are assessed for water delivery by the district. And so those are the qualified electors for a district. So a county doesn't have information on who the qualified electors are and wouldn't be able to certify a petition for recall because they wouldn't have that information on hand. So the bill with the Dash 1 amendments will ensure that irrigation districts can use the same forms through Secretary of State as other similar entities. And then by adding in the words that the senator mentioned previously, we'll make sure that the petition, in the absence of a board secretary, which was the case with Klamath, that you would submit it to the board members who are not subject to the recall. So with that, I would urge your support of this bill and would be happy to answer any questions you might have about it.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, ma'am. Just curiosity question, April. Are the elections that are held for board of directors seats on these, are they managed by the water district or the irrigation district itself?
Yes.
Are they off cycle of other municipal elections or?
Chair Burdick, Senator Beyer, members of the committee, they are, and I'm hoping that I'm getting this right, I believe it is on the second Tuesday of November. It is a standard time in which the district elections take place. It's a standardized time for all of them. They don't always have contested elections, so sometimes the nature of the election could be much more straightforward than if you have a contested election, and I think that's generally there's not a lot of changeover in boards as a whole.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 520. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 520, and we have a Dash 1 amendment, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 520.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 520. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the Senate Bill 501 as amended to the floor with the new paths.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 520 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Madam Chair, I'll amend my motion to specify the right bill, 520. I think I said 501.
Oh, you
it's 520,
did?
Madam Chair.
Oh, I missed it.
As amended.
Okay. As amended. So Senator Farioli, to repeat, is moved Senate Bill 520 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Discussion, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
One sure way to find out if there is any opposition to this bill is for us to pass it.
That's an old trick from the Senate Rules Committee. Okay. Any objections? So ordered. Senator Linthicum, would you like to carry this bill?
Certainly.
Okay. Sign him up as a carrier. All right. That concludes our business committee. We're adjourned. Concludes our business committee.